Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Thanks for joining us. Steve, we've had some scheduling issues, so...
I have a little one that is sleeping, so I am home on dad duty.
On dad duty, right.
But thanks to the power of technology, we're still able to get it going.
Indeed, it is Super Bowl Sunday, and we definitely want to talk about that and a few things in the sports world. But I want to go local first, because there was an incident... it was in 2016 where a Lakewood, Ohio police officer was responding to a child in a 16 or 17 year old girl in in the Lakewood Public Library, a place I've spent plenty of time. It ends up in an altercation where he ultimately breaks her jaw. The officer's name is Kevin Jones. He was not charged with anything. He was not disciplined by the police force or removed by the Lakewood, Ohio police force. And this is a really perfect thing for you and I to talk about, Steve, for a variety of reasons. One is we both used to live in Lakewood. So now we're talking about a community you and I know very well. I would call Lakewood reasonably diverse. Certainly not a, you know, really upscale community, but I love Lakewood. I think it's a great town. And we talk a lot of things related to police shootings and just general interactions between the police and society, typically black communities or low income communities. And this is a perfect illustration, because it's not really low income. The victim, or the girl that was injured in this, she had her jaw broken, if I didn't already say that, was a black teenager. It's all caught on video, both from the library cam and from the officer's cam. And a lot of times, Steve, I feel like we as a society focus too much on shootings, and it becomes was this a justified killing or not? And we get away from the fact that what happens day to day is really what moves the needle. It's just that when there's a fatality involved, it draws more attention.
Sure. So I haven't seen the video. When I watched it, there's a couple of things that you go through. It feels like kind of a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions. First, I believe the girl, I think the issue was that the girl was listening to her music too loud.
No, she had her feet up on a chair.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. She had her feet up on a chair. And the police officer comes over, tells her to take him down.
She does immediately.
She does, but I guess she gives some attitude. I don't remember. I saw the video, but I didn't watch it with sound. So I can't remember the dialogue.
I didn't either. She gets up, so she puts her feet down properly. They exchange a few more words. She then gets up, and she's definitely, quote unquote, in his face. And then he proceeds to essentially grab a hold of her in an attempt to obviously remove her from the library. Their scuffle takes place over what had to be 50 yards.
Back to my kind of breakdown of it. You have the initial, get your feet down. She takes him down. She says something to him. He grabs her. He drags her out and, throws her out pretty viciously when they get outside of the library.
Lands on top of her and dislocates her jaw.
Right. I guess my thought process is, a lot of people, anyone who's pro cop is going to say, you can't disrespect the police. You have to listen to everything that they say. And if you don't, then you suffer the consequences. But again, we hear that time and time again, especially when people get shot. It's just like, well, this officer's got to go home to his family at night, so he's got to do what he's got to do. This is an example where the girl was not a threat to the officer or to the public. He just didn't like the fact that she disrespected him. So in my mind, you know, he abused his power, his authority. He basically was a bully, overpowered her, dragged her out, and injured her. And it's just not, it's just so unnecessary. Like, she didn't even commit a crime. You know, having your feet on a chair, while it's not, it's rude, or it doesn't show,
right.
It shows, a lack of respect. And her response showed a lack of respect. You know, those aren't crimes. You know, like, it's not a crime. And, you know, these police officers who, if you say something wrong to them, they lose their minds and get physical with people, like, that should be unacceptable. I don't understand why people are so of this mindset that, you know, if you disrespect an officer, they should be able to completely lose their cool and go apeshit and drag you, beat you, choke you, whatever. There's no in between. You know, at the end of the day, listen, people are assholes. Hey. And what's funny is there are plenty of officers who don't overreact. You know, I mean, I have friends who have, you know, gotten tickets and have been pretty shitty to the officer and berated them. And guess what? The officer didn't beat them. He didn't drag them out of their car. He didn't shoot them, obviously. They just got a ticket that they might not have gotten had they just shut up, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, like, the officer just did his job. And I don't understand why that isn't the accepted standard across the land. It's just like we automatically, you know, there's the contingent of people that automatically go to the, well, if you listen to the officer, or if you're nice to the officer, give them respect, then they won't beat the shit out of you. Like, I mean, think about what you're saying.
Right. Well, what's critical to me in analyzing this, and you kind of touched on it, is there was no threat, right? There was no reasonable reason for him to feel like he or anyone around him was in any kind of danger. He did not only did he fail to de-escalate the situation, he escalated it by making it physical. I mean, I'm not saying that if she had pushed him or whatever, that it would have been okay what he did, but she didn't. She was being mouthy, and he decided to take it to the next level.
Right. And, I mean, it's just like, it's a mouthy teenager. Calm, like, officer, calm down.
And it's unreasonable to hold a teenage girl to the same standard of expected behavior as a police officer, right? You should be able to say, you know, listen, young lady, knock it off. You're being inappropriate. This didn't escalate over minutes. This happened fast.
Well, I mean, not that it matters, but.
I mean,
but all the officer really had to do was he asked her to take her feet down. She did. She said something to him. You tell her just like, listen, that's disrespectful. You know, your parents should teach you some manners. You turn, you walk away. She says something, you ignore it. You turn, like, this whole idea that these cops have to, you know, they have to exert their authority. It's just like, listen, you have a gun, you have a badge. And yes, kids are mouthy. They've always been mouthy. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean you beat them and you fucking shoot them.
Or
right?
in this case, wrestle them. The video is worth watching. We should put this up on Twitter, because the scuffle takes place, like I said, over a substantial amount of territory, which also makes me say, what kind of training are Lakewood police officers getting? Because if you felt the need to restrain or remove a 16 or 17 year old girl from a library, and that's the most effective way you had to do it, you should not be a cop, because your training sucks, in addition to the fact that you overreacted, escalated the situation. And it's this sort of thing that I think justifiably sets off outrage, right? We talk about the shootings because, like I said, there's a death involved and it's very graphic.
Well, what do you mean by that? There wasn't really much outrage about this. I mean, obviously the girl, I mean, the girl's family.
Okay, but there should be.
I mean, like, this didn't set off outrage. Nobody really gave a shit about this. And I'm not saying that that was right, but I mean, this doesn't set off outrage. I mean, it's gotten more attention than it normally would, again, because of social media, because of Facebook and Twitter, and YouTube, it's able to spread around.
And cop cams.
And you go to, you know, comment sections and you see people's response, and the responses are pretty split down the middle. it's either, you know, respect the police and this won't happen, or, you know, that cop's an asshole. And
both those statements can be true, but to hold the cop to a standard of, well, she disrespected me, so it was okay for me to manhandle and ultimately seriously injure this girl is unacceptable and revolting to me. And the fact that go ahead.
I just think that there should have been, I mean, there's got to be some repercussion for this, right? I mean, the girl didn't commit a crime, so she wasn't nice to you, so you injured her, and there's just no repercussion from it. Like, that to me, in and of itself, is a problem. And, you know, it's one of the big issues that people of color have with police, is that they can, you know, they can go above and beyond what they're supposed to do in terms of, you know, punishment and being punitive, and there's no, and they do it with impunity. There's no punishment for it, you know. And a lot of people, when they, you know, they don't like Black Lives Matter and they don't like Black people who protest against the police, so anytime something happens, right, where there's, you know, like a Black person commits a crime and then, like, they're arrested and charged, and that, you know, you see the people saying, oh, where's Black Lives Matter when this Black guy did this, and, you know, he got, well, it's like, he was arrested, he was charged, he's being punished. That's the point. Like, it's not like, it's not that we don't, like,
you're not exonerating criminal activity, right? Like, but you are saying,
like,
people, don't,
like, the whole Black Lives Matter movement was because police and people were just doing whatever they wanted to people of color. And there was no punishment for it, right? Like, you know, whether it's Trayvon Martin or, I mean, and he wasn't a cop, but, you know.
Well, not only no punishment, right, Steve, but also continued behavior of that nature.
Yeah, but I mean, the key, but again.
I guess maybe there's one and the same, that if there's no consequence for it.
Right, I mean, like, but yeah, I mean, like, you had the kid here. What was the kid here in Cleveland?
Tamir Rice?
Tamir Rice, yeah. I mean, Tamir Rice, Mike Brown, all that stuff. It's just like, all right, there's just not only, you know, there's these investigations that seem, you know, the officers get paid, you know, it's just like, all right, you're suspended with pay, or you're on desk duty, and we won't talk about it for 6 months, and then we'll come back and say we didn't find anything, and then that's it.
And we've talked Mike Brown a lot, but that's one of the exceptions where, like,
I think the situation with Mike Brown was different.
But it was the straw that broke the camel's back in a community that was dealing with behavior a lot like what we're talking about in this situation in Lakewood, right? It was just like, people were constantly being oppressed, beat up, ticketed, fined, followed, searched, whatever.
Right.
And then when the Mike Brown thing happens, even though that particular event was legally justified and whatever, you know, you push a community so far, and there were other things that set that off, with his body laying in the street, which, you know, I understand how people felt, like, you know, in this case, this life was being treated like it didn't matter. Gee, I wonder if that helped, you know, fuel
the hate. I don't want to, you know, litigate that whole situation, but I mean, the point that I was trying to make is that we have seen and are even still seeing a number of police officers treat people of color a certain way, you know, very aggressively, and they do so with check on their power or authority, and, you know, it's just like, it's not right. Now, I think the one thing is that, like, we are seeing more instances in the media, like, you know, the Washington Post and the Guardian are trying to highlight not only just when it happens to minorities, but when police treat white people poorly. And, you know, there's no repercussions for that either. And I think their thought behind that is that if we show that police in general just have this unchecked power, that maybe somehow that will bring everybody to the table to say, all right, well, it wasn't a big deal when it was happening to Black people, but since it's happening to white people now, we should probably step in. I don't know how effective that is. I don't think it's very effective. I mean, it should be, right? It should be.
I would call that a cynical view if it weren't for the fact that you will then point out, cynical all you want, here's the evidence.
I mean, it's like, no, you know, like, no one gives a shit. I mean, you know, your hard conservative police sorting people are going to say, no matter what, you know, don't fuck with the law, and they won't fuck with you. And I think people of color have just been like, screw you. We've been trying to stay as far away from them as possible. And they still manage and find ways, you know, to treat us poorly. So, you know, this case, I mean, it highlights it. It didn't get a lot of media attention, I think, because the girl didn't die.
I guarantee it didn't go national. I mean,
what's that?
It didn't go national. People listening to us in Los Angeles or, you know, Arizona are not going to say, oh yeah, I remember that story from a year and a half ago. No one died.
I mean, it wasn't a big story. She wasn't shot. She wasn't killed. It was also a black officer and a black teenager.
True.
You know, so the media isn't going to really get into that. Because there is a narrative that the media is trying to push. It doesn't fit the narrative because the cop wasn't white. And again, no one died. So again, it doesn't get that big media coverage, but it still does show just that abuse of power that, you know, that there needs to be some sort of check and balance here. You know, the police need to be able to do their job without just going above and beyond and beating people just because you don't like what I say to you. Me being not nice to you and saying mean words doesn't risk you not going home to your family.
Right.
Right. Like, I get, like, they hide behind that all the time. Like, well, if it's, you know, I got to go home to my family. Like, okay, I said you're a prick. That doesn't mean you have to beat me to death because all of a sudden I'm a threat because I think you're a jerk. You know, I mean, what the hell type
and,
of logic
and,
is that?
And this falls into the category to me of, well, you don't know what she said. I don't care what she said. If she said vile things, words should have come out of her mouth. Made it justified to do that.
There's nothing that she could have said that makes sense as to what he did, right?
Agreed.
Unless the only thing that she could have said where I would see, all right, like, you got to take her down is if she said, I have a bomb in my jacket, or I'm going to pull the gun out of my bag and shoot you. But even still, his actions don't make sense because he didn't neutralize the situation, right? And we know she didn't say that.
Correct.
He just overreacted because he didn't like what she said. You know, I mean, it's like, and here's the thing, take the gun and the badge away. And had he done that,
he's going to jail for a long fucking time.
Exactly. You know, I mean, like, come on, like, just let's just.
And he should.
For some of the stuff, it's just like, okay, like, if this happened, if he weren't a police officer, would you accept it? Would that be acceptable behavior? No. Okay. Then why is it acceptable? Because he has a gun and a badge.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. You know, that's a good point, Steve, because had this been the manager of the library.
Right. Had it just been me, right? Like, had I just walked
or
the library,
citizen,
like,
right.
Hey, I don't like the fact that your feet are on the, take your feet off. And she said, who the fuck are you? I'm not taking my feet off. And I said, you know what? Fine. Fuck you. I'm kicking you out of the community library that I pay taxes in. Right. And I dragged her out and I broke her jaw. Then it probably would have gone national and I would probably go to jail. Like,
and you should.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because I'm a fucking psychopath. So now this guy, that psychopath has a gun and a badge. And we're just like, nope, that makes perfect sense. Be nice to him, and you don't have, you know, and that won't happen. That's insane.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you that's literally, don't disrespect the police state, and you won't get a beat down. And I'm saying those words, and I sound weird. I feel weird saying them, but that's, if you're going to defend this officer on that logic, that's what you're saying. Like, just don't, yes. And that's fucked up.
Right. It's just, I don't know, man. So, I mean, we'll, you know, obviously we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, I think her family is suing him or Lakewood police over her broken jaw, which they should.
And the law firm that is representing her has been very active on social media. Like I said, we'll tweet something to them, or we'll tweet out some of their posts and get that out there. And yeah, we got to keep an eye on this case. But here's another thing that, you know, I always thought, well, maybe the police will stop doing these things if they keep losing lawsuits because it's costing them money. Okay, if you're an angry taxpayer, this should infuriate you because it's not coming out of the police budget. It's coming out of your property taxes. So
yeah.
Part of the reason that neither of us live in Lakewood anymore is we bought homes and property taxes in Lakewood are huge.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not why I love Lakewood, but...
No, I mean, like, the taxes in Lakewood are ridiculous. I mean, like, it's crazy, especially for what you get. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, so we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, I, you know, I mean, there's no happy ending to this.
Right.
I mean, even if the girl wins, I mean, her jaw has still been broken. She had to deal with that. The you know, the people of Lakewood are going to have to, if she wins, are going to end up having to pay this. And that officer is still on the force. Like, there's no, you know, hopefully maybe he learned something from it and he it did change him and he won't do things like this. But I mean,
don't paint me optimistic on that one.
Yeah, I am not optimistic on that at all. So, all right, man, let's jump to something else.
Sounds good. All right, I agree. Let's change gears. We have to talk about Trump, the FBI, and the memo. I'm glad we were talking about something that wasn't mainstream, and I'd like to get back to other less mainstream things, but this is too big.
We can't have a show without talking something Donald Trump. It's necessary because, I mean, it's just going on around us and you know, somewhat unprecedented with the amount of ridiculousness that surrounds this president. You know, you and I both wrote stories on WhiskeyCongress.com, dealing right. with the memo. You know, I read it when it comes out on Friday, and, you know, I read it a couple times over my lunch break. I think I read it three times. You know, the first time I read it, I was like, there's got to be more to it than this. So I read it a second time and just still couldn't believe what I had just read, that this was an actual, this is an actual document produced by one of our Senate committees. And I read it, you know, the third time, and it just, it dawned on me, like, there's just not.
If
that were all that there was, right? Like, if that was literally everything, right? Like, if that's actually how it went down, then everyone should be pissed. They should be pissed at the FBI. They should be pissed at the FISA courts. You know, they should be pissed at everyone, right? And if you didn't read the memo basically runs through and says that the FBI used this dossier that was produced by, that was paid for by Hillary Clinton and Fusion GPS to get opposition research on Donald Trump and his campaign, and the dossier was falsified, or was mostly false and made up, and then that was used, that made-up dossier was used to get a warrant to basically spy on an American citizen, Carter Page, who was a part of the Trump campaign. And so because of that, then, you know, all sorts of, you know, civil liberties are at risk, and it was a major abuse of power, and everything with Russia is a shamocracy, you know, because it's all based on lies, right? Like, that's what the memo says, essentially. And if that were all accurate, then I would agree and I would be pissed. But the problem is, it's not accurate, right? Like, I'm not a federal investigator. I'm not privy to all the information. But we know for a fact that Carter Page has been on the radar of multiple intelligence agencies since at least 2013. It's been documented. He's got multiple ties to Russia that are questionable, and this dossier was a part of what got the warrant, but the FBI presented additional information that this memo intentionally excludes. To me, that's a big part of the problem, right? Like, this is completely biased. It's completely partisan. It's Devin Nunes, who's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying, once again, I need to do something to show my support for Trump, and I'm just going to tell one side of the story, and we'll let Kellyanne Conway and Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Donald Trump himself spin the lie, and no one will notice that I left out half the story, right? And then the people who do notice, well, everyone will just call them crazy liberals and it won't matter. Yeah, I mean, and that's essentially what happened. It's like, hey, look at my shiny object over here. Don't mind what I'm not doing over here. And new cycle.
As in, my article on the same issue was entitled Jingling the Keys, because that's exactly what this is. Look over
I mean,
here.
It's ridiculous. It really is.
And so there's two other things or three other things that are ridiculous to me. One is Trump saying this memo perfectly exonerates me. Here's proof. I did nothing wrong. No collusion, no obstruction, because now they're saying obstruction instead of collusion. That's ridiculous. And then I also happened to watch Fox and CNN talk about Fox called the memo bigger than Watergate. And wow. CNN called the Russia investigation bigger than Watergate. And yeah. So this is the day and age of our media. It's fucking a real problem. I'm pointing fingers at both of them.
Well, and here's the issue. The media has taken the Russia collusion story and spun it out of control, right? The media has created this idea that collusion, right? They've created this term collusion, right? Well, not created the term collusion, but they've taken the term collusion and added all this additional meaning that isn't there, right? Like, there's no actual, like, collusion isn't necessarily a crime the way that they're making it seem, right? People are saying, oh, collusion. Like, well, what Mueller is investigating is basically everyone's transactions and their interactions. And he's seeing, did Trump and his team have inappropriate contact with a foreign government while in the course of campaigning and running for office, right?
Right, exactly. There are laws associated with interacting with foreign entities.
Right. I mean, the other things that he's looking at, money laundering, fraud, you know, those sort of things to figure out, like, what, you know, was Donald Trump hiding money or hiding Russian money in his properties and all those sort of things? You know, were people in Trump's campaign taking money and making promises to the Russian government if they won, which, like, those things aren't legal. Now, the other defense is some people will say, well, I mean, that's the way government's always worked. It's always been done. Like, okay, just because it's always been done doesn't mean that it's never been legal to do those things.
Right.
Right. I mean, and so, you know, like, oh, it was overlooked in the past. Well, yeah, it was wrong. It shouldn't have been overlooked in the past.
And in 1950s in Hollywood, you could rape a girl on a casting couch and no one said shit. That doesn't mean it was right.
That doesn't mean it's right. Exactly. So, and it's, well, why Trump? Why are we holding Trump to the standard? Well, I mean, he surrounded himself with people. Part of this is on Trump, right? It's the people he surrounded himself with, you know, Flynn and Manafort and this Carter Page guy and all these people. We're known, and I mean, Obama even warned him about Manafort and Flynn, right? I mean, or I know Obama and their staff warned them about Flynn. You know, Paul Manafort just oozes, you know, criminal activity and behavior. And guess what? He's already been indicted. Now, that being said, I've contended for the longest time that it probably doesn't go any further than Flynn and Manafort, and because they were Flynn, Manafort, Page, and Papadopoulos, right? Like those were the big, you know, flashing red lights, and Mueller's got to them. He's indicted, or he's got charges on three of them. You know, nothing on Carter Page yet, but like those were the triggers, and that may be it. That may, you know, he may wrap it all up in the next year and say, you know, we found the extent of it. It was Manafort, it was Flynn, and that's it. Right? I mean, right. And so I think to that end, it's important to say, okay, well, you know, everyone's saying, well, there was no collusion. Like, no, there was no collusion, but there was definitely people involved with Trump who had direct ties and were involved with Russia, and they've been charged with crimes. That's worth noting.
And some of them have pled guilty to crimes.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, that's worth noting. Like, they were a part. Like, they were directly involved with your campaign, so you can't say that there was no involvement with your campaign with Russia, because guess what? They worked for you, and now look, we've already made the connection. People are saying there's no connection. I'm like, what are you talking about? Manafort, Flynn, Papadopoulos, Page are your connection. The guys that were going back and forth to Russia, getting ridiculous sums of money to do so. That was the connection.
And follow the money is always the way to unravel these things.
That's always how the shit goes down, right? Like, just follow the fucking money. And money is coming from Russia. But, I mean, okay, so you have that, right? And But it's not bigger than Watergate.
No.
Right? CNN stopped. Like, this isn't that, like...
Well, but the memo is not bigger than Watergate either. Fox News stopped. I mean, you're right to call out CNN, but Fox News saying the Nunes memo is, like, shaking up the foundations of government. Like, fuck off.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, Fox News and Sean Hannity with their, you know, with their just unbelievable, ridiculous... you know, bias, blind support for Trump, all things Trump and GOP and Republican. I mean, I get it. You know, it's about ratings. It's about, you know, being a counterbalance against the progressive
right.
left,
the
media
evil
and,
left
and all
wing
that stuff.
Media.
But,
right.
I mean, it is. It has grown to a point where I think most people recognize. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, that's wrong. I think a lot of sane people in the middle recognize that. There, that it's not about objectivity anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, that ship has sailed.
It's that whole idea of infotainment, and so as responsible citizens, like we have to go out and find, you know, multiple sources of information, and then we have to do a lot of digging on our own. But we have to be careful not to dismiss things, and not pay attention to, you know, what's going on and just say, well, I don't know what the truth is, so I'm just going to ignore all of it or not believe any of it. It just requires you to think a little bit more, which is hard because everybody's in this rat race of, I got to work, I got to feed my kids, I got to pay my rent. I don't got time to think, you know, beyond any of that. So I just listen to the stuff on the
right.
surface.
Give me a headline and I'm good to go.
Right. I either believe everything I hear or I don't believe anything. And then, you know, that's it. And there's got to be, you know, as citizens, we have to find a way to be more involved, to be better thinkers, and to process this information. And because that is how we can turn the ship around, right? If more of the people in the middle who are tired of the people on the left and you're tired of people on the right, right? The people on the right just putting up these shitty borderline racist memes all the time on social media, and then the people on the left who just resist, and everything
right.
resists, right? Like, if the people in the middle just said, all right, both of you on both ends are fucking idiots, right? Like, so you guys just stay out there on the fringe and do your stupid thing while we, you know, while we in the middle figure out a way to come together, compromise, and hold the people that we put in office accountable, then, you know, the world would be much better off. Right. If we just didn't. But instead, like, everyone's kind of just taking whatever they hear, and either they believe all of it, they believe none of it, but they're not, no one's really engaging the way that we really
right.
need to engage.
Intellect and deep analysis are gone. It's now a soundbite and a headline. And one of two news organizations will just power push, you know, you're right, they're wrong.
Right. I mean, there was, I wrote a story about Erykah Badu. Erykah Badu is a R&B kind of songstress.
I read it.
She got very popular in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. She had a child with Andre 3000 from Outkast. She's a very different type of woman, right? Like, she's kind of like this, like, they call her kind of like mystical, right? Like, she's just so out there. But in this story that I forget the magazine that wrote it, but in this story, I think it was Variety, maybe, they were interviewing her and she talked about the state of hip hop and music. And she talked about, you know, protests and civil rights and all this sort of stuff. And in there, she makes a statement that she says, I try to see the good in everybody. I can see good in Hitler. Right. And then after that, the interviewer says, wait, you see good in Hitler? He was, you know, he killed the Jews and blah, blah, blah. And she says, I don't know, maybe he was a good painter. She's like, I'm just trying to be optimistic. And then she goes on and says, you know, maybe not. But then she expounds on the idea of just trying to see the positive in things. Right.
Right.
It was a small part of this interview that was. That went on for, you know, there were multiple paragraphs. It went, you know, it scrolled. I mean, you know, it took me probably, you know, 45 minutes to read the whole interview. Well, Washington Post gets a hold of it and says, you know, Erykah Badu sees good in Hitler.
Right.
Right. Like that's, you know, because ultimately what she said.
True statement. She said those words.
Wait, well, she did say those words, but the Washington Post was
horribly out of context.
Well, But the Washington Post was pissed because Erykah Badu says, listen, I get asked to go to marches and rallies all the time. And she says, I usually don't go because I don't agree with what they're doing. She's like, people march and they get upset about these different things, but they don't do any sort of introspection. They don't look at themselves. They don't look at the situation. They don't do things that actually may lead to resolving the issues. Instead, they want to go and they want to march and they want to scream and yell. And she's like, I don't think that that's an effective way to, go about creating change. She basically says, you want to see change, you got to be the change that you want to see. And there's a lot of people on the progressive left who lose their fucking minds the second you say, well, there's a lot of issues in this community that are external, but there are things that the community can do internally that'll help resolve some of these things without external help. And there are people on the progressive left who hear that, and for some reason, they can't process it as a good thing. It sounds to them like you're saying it's all their own fault and that they're they're at fault for everything that's happening to them.
Right.
And they get defensive, and it's just like the Washington Post didn't like, I think what they didn't like much of her interview. So they took the Hitler thing and made it a headline, and nobody read it. If you go and look at the comments, either at, on Twitter, on Facebook, or the actual what Washington Post post, people didn't read it. They just said, oh, Erykah Badu sees good in Hitler. She's stupid. Jewish people jumped in and, everything. And it's just like, how dare she? It's like, go read it. Go read what she said and you will understand. Like, it puts it in perspective. It's amazing. But people just don't read. And all that to say that, the simple headline, the 242 characters on Twitter, whatever they see on Facebook, it just looks like instantly facts for people anymore.
Completely true. Steve, I want to change gears in a couple ways. What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I am drinking Highland Park, 12-year. It's a Highland whiskey, and it Highland Scotch whiskey, and it is very good.
Well, let me tell you what's going on in our studio remotely for you. I had a 10 high and a Founders Porter. I went through the 10 high. The bottle of Rabbit Hole bourbon was still on our table. I attempted to open that to give myself another shot, and the cork just crumbled. So now I've got a half-wedged cork in the bottle of Rabbit Hole that I've been unable to get to. I've literally, when you've been talking, I've been trying to twist this little nub of cork out of the bottle. I don't have the nerve to just jam it into the bottle and get what I can out of it. This has been a struggle.
Jeez. Okay.
I thought you and our audience deserved to know the picture of that. The cork just blew up.
I know how you get when you try to get creative with your ingenuity. So I'm sure it's a sight to behold.
Unfortunately, I'm tethered to the headphones of the show. I will announce when I've successfully opened the rabbit hole, or just give up and punch the cork all the way through.
Just punch the cork all the way through. I mean, no, it doesn't matter.
I will not be defeated.
How are you? You're not being defeated, Jim. Like that, you know how you're being defeated? Like, you don't have access to your alcohol, you asshole. Punch the cork through, and that solves your problem.
Fine. Like, cork's in the bottle.
Jesus Christ. Like, what do you want to do? What's more important? Like, getting the cork out or drinking the alcohol?
Drinking whiskey without cork bits in it would be a nice touch.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other trick, I mean, you could always strain it. I've had to do it. I got those old bottles of whiskey out of my grandfather's closet, those bottles were 50, 60 years old.
So I remember once you gave me a taste of one. You said this whiskey is older than you.
Right, right.
I don't remember what the whiskey was. It was good.
You know what it was? It was an old, I remember, it was an old Four Roses bourbon in that old.
That's right.
In the decanter style bottle.
That's right.
That was I remember that clear as day. Yeah,
that was back at your old house.
Yeah, that was one I had to strain. I had to strain the whiskey out. and then get the cork out, and then I put the whiskey back in the bottle, which, you know, I mean, fortunately, doing stuff like that makes me feel like less of an alcoholic, because that's more work than a true alcoholic would actually.
A true alcoholic would take the cork along with the booze.
Right, they would just eat the cork to get the rest, to squeeze the rest of the alcohol out.
Thanks, man. You're making me feel better about myself.
See, that's what I do.
You are a healer.
I uplift spirits, Jim.
Well, now I have spirits in my glass because the cork is in the bottle and I'm not pouring it out, and I'll figure out a way to stopper it after the show.
Good.
Dude, that does not count as attempted stand-up joke. So anyway, one more Cleveland-based thing. The Chief Wahoo emblem is officially being removed from circulation starting in 2019. And I engaged in some social media interactions with this. I also made the mistake of going on the rabbit hole and looking at comment sections. And I also put I did a YouTube video on our YouTube channel where I basically said, did you watch it or no?
Nope.
Okay. Basically, my point was, I don't care about it being gone. I didn't care about it existing. And the fact that I don't care either way pretty much is me saying, this is what white privilege looks like. And I'm not going to publicly shame myself, but I'm also not going to ignore the fact that it's really easy for me to sit here and say, why does anyone care? But then as I went on in my video, I also point out that the fact that I've seen so many people, almost exclusively roughly my age, white men, melting down as if someone had authorized, you know, public kicking of their puppy because their emblem would no longer contain a caricature-ish, symbol of a Native American, as if that was like a personal affront that was ruining their childhoods, became so funny to me that I was actually glad that the Indians in Major League Baseball did this, because it became illustrative of what whiny entitled people do.
Well, I mean, I think you have this thing where people really, you know, people don't like being told that something they're doing is wrong. And so, you know, you have this, as soon as it was announced, I have, you know, being from Northeast Ohio, a lot of white friends that were in that group that lost their minds over it, right? It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Like, PC culture is winning, the progressive liberals, like, you know, this whole thing of, you know, you're taking away my right. And, you know, like, I don't, like, why does it matter? It's only a small percentage of people that are offended. What's next? You know, it's just like, you know, next, you know, you're not going to be
people,
able to.
I saw people saying, well, I'm from the North. Are you going to take away the term Yankees? I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, just all of that. I mean, like, people are so upset by this whole idea, and it's just like, listen, why is it so, like, listen, I think it's, if it were anything else, if it were, you know, blackface or, you know, something Asian or all that shit, like, again, it shouldn't be that hard, right? Like, you've got to marginalize people who were treated like shit, who, you know, are being basically made fun of by this character. And it's like, all right, we can change it, right? Like, there's, like, the Indians have been phasing it out for years. Like, there's the block C, there's the feather, there's the script I, there's all these different ways to kind of keep the whole thing with the team moving forward without that particular emblem. And yet people, I don't think people actually care. Right. There are so many people who I don't think they actually care. I think it's more about, like, someone just telling them, like, hey, we're taking this away because it's shitty. And if you celebrate it, then, you know, you're kind of an asshole. It's like, well,
I think the word is kind of a racist, because people respond to being called racist very aggressively. And I get that. But at the same time, don't tell me that you've been victimized by the removal of an emblem.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've been treated worse than the Native Americans because I can't have this. And another thing that cracks me up is people act like once this policy goes into place, like all, like I saw one guy doing a whole thing where he took, it was on YouTube, and he was like taking off, oh, I've got this hat, I gotta take that off, and this sweatshirt, and this whatever, and he goes through like 15 pieces of apparel with the Chief Wahoo emblem. He's like, now I can't have them. Yeah, you can. No one's making that illegal. You're not going to jail for wearing it, you whiny.
The weird thing is, I think the team will actually still sell Chief Wahoo apparel in the team shop beyond 2019.
I don't think that's true. I thought they said they were not going to do that. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Whatever. Either way, I read something specifically that said.
Okay, I could well be wrong.
But whatever. Okay, but the point is, listen, this is no one's taking your shit away from you and saying you can't wear it anymore. They're not gonna ban you from the stadium.
I think we need to go a step further. We need to say if you wear Chief Wahoo, we can kick your puppy. I think we need to.
I can punch you.
That's even better. If you wear Chief Wahoo, all right. I could easily go down a road of stupid here that would not benefit anybody. So I won't. See, Steve, I'm maturing, somewhat, allegedly, but give me an honest response. Now that I've told you what I said on YouTube, am I right, wrong, or overstating or understating the whole white privilege thing when I call out the why I don't give a shit?
No, you are. I think you're on par. I mean, I think there is some of that. There's definitely that whole white privilege thing there. Because that's most, I mean, who's the most pissed about this? You know, white people who are pissed off because it's just like, well, it doesn't offend me. I'm not offended by it. So why should I, why do we have to remove it? It's like, it doesn't offend you, but it does offend a percentage of people who've been treated pretty shitty by people like you, you know, for 200 fucking years. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I think a piece of that, that whole idea of white privilege there, I'm not going to get too hung up on it.
I don't think we've, there won't be a, Chief Wahoo was removed holiday in 50 years. This was not a major accomplishment, but the reaction to this being done so overemphasizes what was actually happening. And and we both have been pretty critical of like excessively PC things in this show and our previous show. So we're not like, PC, liberal, tree huggers, but I'm kind of a tree hugger. It's kind of ironic I chose that term, but come on, you have not been victimized if you can't have a caricature on a t-shirt sold to you at a Major League Baseball venue or on prominent display during a game. And if you can't enjoy a ninth inning game winning home run because there isn't that in front of you, fuck off. I know that's been my go-to for the day, but
Come on. To me, I think, it kind of goes to some of, the way people were protesting the NFL this year, right? I mean, you're just so upset because the guys are kneeling, or you're just so upset because Colin Kaepernick isn't in the league. What are we watching sports for here, people? Really? I mean, like, come on.
Be entertained.
At the end of the day, I mean, there's people, I've seen people today on social media like, oh, well, Super Bowl's going on. I didn't even know because I've been watching all year. Because
I'm so
Get the fuck out of here. I don't have a horse in this race, and I'm absolutely going to watch it. And I'm going to cheer against the Patriots. I'm going to root for Philly. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it even harder. And I'm going to put it in the faces of all those people who are saying they aren't watching it just to be an asshole to them.
All right. So let's switch to Super Bowl real quick, because first of all, let's go shout out to Dave in Philly and all of our friends in Philly that listen to our show. There are multiple people out there who do. Go Eagles. Yep. I'm concerned because I heard
Dave in Philly, my buddy Kwame. The whole crew.
I'm concerned because I heard that there was a flu bug going around the Eagles locker room. And that can devastate a team. And that's just unfair and shitty if that hurts their ability. But I am cheering for you guys. And I hope that next time we talk, we're talking about the Eagles winning their first Super Bowl. We also should talk about the fact that we had a bet from months ago that's coming up now. We bet that one of us will be buying a bottle of whiskey for the show. If Janet Jackson shows up at the halftime show.
Right, because Justin Timberlake was named, you know, the halftime right. star. And, you know, we did bet on this. I had forgotten. You reminded me. And now I fully remember the bet. And now I was nervous about this. I'm still nervous about losing this bet because my bet, I bet that she wasn't going to show. My thought is Janet was very wounded by that whole situation. She felt betrayed by Justin Timberlake. And while they've patched up the whole thing kind of, you know, behind closed doors, she wasn't going to put herself out there like that again with him. But at the same time, I think that Janet is, you know, much like her brother Michael, is the ultimate showman and showwoman. And I could How see her you? Saying, I'm not going to be there. And I know she put some shit out on Twitter saying she wasn't going to be there. But in 2018, with the amount of money that she has, she may be in New York right now, but she can easily get to Minneapolis in a short amount of time and be there for a cameo appearance at the Super Bowl. So I will not count my chickens before they are hatched. I'm hoping she stays her ass wherever she is with her kid. And stays looking good, but not on the Super Bowl stage because you should have to lose this bet.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was talking to a friend earlier about it, and she and I were going back and forth, and it occurred to me, like, in the let's fix the whole image of the Super Bowl and the image of the NFL, and then if Janet and JT come back together and they're on the stage together, it'll be great. But Janet doesn't need that. That's when I realized I was going to lose. She tweeted saying she wasn't going to do it. I'm like, what, you know, could she gain from it? Sure. Would the crowd go nuts if she did? Sure. But the beneficiary would be the NFL and those people who were, you know, saying like I did that, you know, bringing back JT and not bringing back Janet was kind of a slap in the face to her. And you can, you know, put in, you know, any racial or gender biases in there you want, but yeah. She doesn't
hey,
need
Jim.
It.
Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, you're right. You're right. Hey, can you pause us?
I can. And we're paused. Okay. So Steve just had me pause because he is going to, be able, his wife has returned home. His domestic responsibilities are being taken care of and we will resume live. You won't get any pause. So please don't be afraid of a commercial interruption or anything like that. We will be back shortly, and we're going to talk more about more football and the Hall of Fame class and maybe even the Russell Westbrook situation. So thanks for listening. This could become two different episodes. I'm still sitting here with my rabbit hole bourbon. I'll tell you what, we'll probably do this as two episodes. So we'll publish this, and then right behind it, we'll publish the follow-up where we talk about the a few other things. We'll see. So thank you. We are whiskeycongress.com. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media platforms. And I'm drinking Rabbit Hole bourbon and Founders Porter. Steve was drinking his whiskey, and hopefully we'll be able to connect once he gets a ride over here. Thank you very much. Goodbye.